Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Katie. I am the executive pastor here. I shepherd the details and help shepherd the people. I'm usually just up here for announcements, but today they gave me the fancy mic, so we'll see what happens. I just want to start out by just acknowledging some shout-outs to some family in the room. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you. It's very kind of you and my mom on her birthday. So, that we made last week. So as you know, on March 15th, we're going to be moving to two different gatherings. We told you that we needed some more Dream Team members in a few areas. We needed 10 team members total, and you guys answered the call. Thank you so much. So we have all cost coverage set for two in our week care room, and that's our 6 month to 4 year age, and two spots with our elementary. Those are all the kids that just went downstairs. So they meet downstairs for their classes while we're up here learning. They learn as well. So two spots there and two spots downstairs. If anyone is interested in serving this congregation with kids, you can see myself or Shelby. And then if there's any other area that you're interested in serving the congregation in, that would be the same as well. You can see myself and Shelby. Part of our mission here at Christ Community is to make a difference in the world. And though there's many ways to do that, I do believe that starting at home is a very impactful way in your home community. So if you have not done it already, next step, small group will be your next step. We start another round on the first Sunday in March. This sounds a lot like announcements, so I'm going to move on. All right. Imagine you're scrolling through videos on your phone or your computer. It's probably not too difficult to imagine for many of us. So you're scrolling and you see a video of a young couple that enthusiastically declares, "We're debt free!" And you're watching it and you're thinking, how in the world do they do that? They must earn a lot of money. It must be because of this. Do I just do that, or is you guys too? But we make up excuses, you know, it's probably that. Or you think, there's no way that I could ever do that. Maybe you scroll or stop on a video of someone in the gym doing pull-ups, and your pride says, I could totally do that. And then you're like, I had no idea how they did that. That would be amazing. My friend Lindsay tells you that it would take intentionality. Not something that you could just go and do. She created a plan, and she practiced. Two steps forward, one step back. Her process was not linear, but she kept doing the things that it would take to do a pull-up. And just 3 months later, her chin was tapping the top of that bar. Intentionality. Last week, we began a series called Making Room. Micah talked to us about making room for the Holy Spirit, and today we're talking about being intentional to make room for the pattern or the practices of Jesus in our daily life. So let's start, as is always good practice, with Scripture. We're going to land near the end of Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bibles and want to turn there. I'm going to start out with a quick paraphrase recap of Acts chapter 1 for those who missed last week or are unfamiliar with it. Acts chapter 1 takes place after Jesus was crucified and then he was raised from the dead, which I say very casually, but it's not casual. Go read the account if you have not read it. He has just spent 40 days appearing to his followers in various places. Jesus then commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the gift that his Father promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just after saying these things, he was taken up into heaven, ascending right in front of them. Scripture then tells us the disciples, the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, returned to Jerusalem, and they waited, just as instructed. 10 days later, when what we now call the day of Pentecost came, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus said they would. Near the gathering place where the followers of Jesus were staying, known as the upper room, many Jews were staying in Jerusalem. Scripture tells us that the group was full of people from every nation under heaven. And as they listened to the disciples who had just been filled with the Spirit, they heard the disciples begin to speak in a heavenly language that they, at the time, interpreted as each hearing in their own language, because they were from everywhere, different languages. They each heard it in their own language. Some in the crowd were astounded and amazed, and then there were others that sneered and basically said, they're just drunk. But Peter stood up. He raised his voice, and he said, pay attention. These people are not drunk. Instead, don't you remember what the prophet Joel said over 800 years ago? And David said the same thing over 1,000 years ago. And what they said is coming true. Peter then says, therefore, let all the houses of Israel know that with certainty that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. Have you ever been pierced to the heart? Maybe you have had a revelation or a realization of something, and you just know something pierces to the heart. And they said to the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" So we pick up in Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for your children, is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So those who accepted that this message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them. Talk about making room. 3,000 is no small number. 3,000 from every nation under heaven. 3,000 from different backgrounds, different cultures, different ways of doing things. And then continuing in verse 42, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." So we ask, what should we do? Scripture says we should repent, be baptized. You'll be forgiven, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then, devote yourselves. The Hebrew word for the phrase to devote oneself is something that I cannot pronounce and you will likely not remember. But it implies to give oneself over completely. An example would be in a marriage context, to give yourself to your spouse completely, to be devoted in marriage. So they gave themselves over to an active learning from Scripture, to sharing life together in community, to talking and listening with God. Devotion is an invitation into a relationship with God. And the invitation is to all of us. Acts 2:42 through 47 gives us a description of the earliest days of what would become the global church. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Doesn't this sound amazing? Everyone was devoted, everyone enjoying one another, eating, praying. All the believers were together, generously sharing all of their possessions with one another. Every day they met in the temple courts. They had supper together, they had glad hearts, always enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord continued to bring people lost to a place of being found. Their group continued to grow. Though this sounds idyllic, I believe this is a picture of the life that we are invited into. This is a picture of what it says in John 10:10, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is a picture of what the full life could look like. The Spirit of God showed up, just like promised, and the result was a fruit of a life filled with the Spirit. So how do we get from here to there? How can we have the full life, a life shared in community with one another? So similar to that group of Jews that we're asking, we ask, what should we do? One of the first steps is one that you've already taken. You're here. You've found yourself with a group of people who are aiming to be a Spirit-filled, Christ-formed community of people, learning to live and love after the pattern of Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We want to become like Jesus. We want to do as he did. As a Spirit-filled community, we aim to be intentional about having the fruit of the Spirit show up in our words and our actions, in our small groups and our large gatherings, on our social media pages and at supper on Friday night with friends. We ask questions like, how are we loving one another? How are we showing love to those different than us? Are we people of peace or people of anxiety? Do we have patience for the practice of silence? Or are we rushed and always driven by productivity? How can we have the fruit of the Spirit drive the motivations of our hearts? In addition to being a Spirit-filled community, we are a Christ-forming community. As a Christ-forming community, we can do as it says in Acts 2:42 and devote ourselves to being like Jesus. So how can we be formed into Christ-likeness? Theologian Dallas Willard once said, "The greatest issue facing the world today, with all its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who, by profession or culture, are identified as Christians will become disciples, or students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the kingdom of heavens into every corner of human existence. Now, the word Christian is only mentioned in the Bible 3 times. And in those days, it was often a derogatory term. Jesus' primary invitation was come and follow me. His invitation was to become the Hebrew word Talmid, which is mentioned over 250 times in the New Testament. Becoming a Talmid went beyond intellectual learning to being devoted to a rabbi, literally following him around, spending time with him, learning from him, imitating his character and actions, and becoming like him. The word Talmid can best be translated to English as an apprentice. Like an apprentice to a carpenter, this goes beyond being a student or intellectual learning. This brings in the ideas of watching, imitating, and practicing, so that one day you can do what your master carpenter does. Now, there could be a perceived gap between being a Christian and being a disciple or an apprentice. Sometimes it seems like being a Christian can simply be that you believe in God, you try to do the right things, and you'll go to heaven when you die. But the invitation of Jesus is to come and follow me. Jesus' message to us is, learn from me the art of living, and I will give you the full life. The learn from me apprenticeship part was meant to be the whole part. It was not meant to be this optional level 2, take a step deeper if you want to be a real Christian part. Jesus desires for all of us to follow him, to become an apprentice and learn from him. So devoting ourselves to the pattern and practice of Jesus invites us to be more than a Christian with all its cultural ebbs and flows and stereotypes that can come with that term, and rather be a disciple, an apprentice, devoting ourselves to Jesus to imitate his character and his actions. Now, as we walk through life, whether we realize it or not, we are all following, learning from, and being discipled by something or someone. It's not a question of, are you a disciple or am I a disciple? It's a question of, who am I a disciple of? Is it your favorite news outlet? An author? A friend group? If, for example, the main aim of our attention and devotion is celebrities or social media influencers, we spend our time and energy watching and learning from them. We take their suggestions on products to use, stores to shop at, ways to treat people, attitudes to have, phrases to say, or tones of voice to use. We're being discipled by them and being shaped into their image. Little test. My kids told me not to do this, but I'm going there anyway. If I did this, how many of you would know what I'm talking about? You have been formed. Sorry. Perhaps some of our financial decisions. If you didn't know what that was, it's okay. That doesn't mean you haven't been formed. It just means that you have more brain cells, probably. It means nothing, honestly. Okay. Perhaps some of our financial decisions are being determined by those around us. We try to keep up with the kind of car that our friend has, that our clothing that our coworker wears, or the thing that culture or social media says is the next big thing. What we are giving our attention to is determining who we are becoming as a person and the direction that our lives are taking. John Wimber said, "Show me where you spend your time, your money, and your energy, and I'll show you what you worship. Or I'll show you what's most important to you." Accepting the invitation to be a follower of Jesus is to say, I want to aim my attention and devotion at Jesus. And by doing so, over time, to be formed increasingly into his image and his likeness. I want to sound like him when I speak. I want to look like him when I act. I want my thoughts to be his thoughts, which are a lot less emotional and anxious than mine can be. I want that peace, which is the fruit of his spirit in my life, that is intentionally being lived to be like him. Repeating a paraphrase of Willard's quote, "The greatest issue facing the world today is whether or not those who identify as Christians will become disciples or apprentices of Jesus." So, as a spirit-filled, Christ-forming community of people, learning to live and love after the pattern of Jesus, what is the pattern of Jesus that we are invited to devote ourselves to? In the Next Step small group, we identify and learn about several of the practices of Jesus. In the Practicing the Way small group, written by John Mark Comer, we both learn and practice parts of this pattern. D.L. Moody, founder of Moody Bible Institute and other institutions, says, "Information is not enough to bring about transformation. To be transformed, we have to get the pattern of Jesus into the muscle memory of our bodies. So we practice. In practicing the way, we learn about the importance of Scripture, the living Word of God to us. We learn about prayer and how to join in the conversation that God is already having continually with us. Solitude and silence, which are counterintuitive and often seem counterproductive in a world today, but I think are more necessary to a Spirit-filled life than we often realize. We dive into the importance of Sabbath with all of its the permissions and the gifts that it holds. We touch on fasting, witness, life in community, service, and generosity. Each of these practices are deep wells in the life of Jesus that we get to spend our lifetimes learning and practicing. And each day spent living like Jesus is another day that we begin to look like, sound like, and act like our Master, Jesus. So how can we make room for practices, for apprenticeship to Jesus in our lives, in our schedules, in our thoughts, in our perspectives? What can this look like in my life and in yours? Especially when very few of us have time to add anything else to our already full plates. In that statement is where we might find our solution. Perhaps we stop doing some things. Perhaps we also find ways to change some of the things that we're doing. So what does that look like in real life? Some people who have done or practicing the Way small group gave me permission to share what it has looked like for them. Liz didn't realize that switching her laundry day not to be on Sunday and instead to focus on Sabbath could be as rewarding as an afternoon nap or reading a good book. To feel the freedom to take a nap as part of the Sabbath? Yes, please. Jane found tools and ways that she can read and study Scripture, where she discovers new meanings to passages that she's read many times before. She then shares the tools and ways to pray that she has used for years, bringing us all closer to God. Her tool to pray the alphabet challenges us to see God in new ways. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, talk to Jane after. Bob desires to follow the way of Jesus and approaches it systematically with well-thought-out plans for execution. His personality flows with his passions, and along the way, he finds himself closer to the pattern of Jesus. Stacy deleted games on her phone, and that helped her change what she spent her time on, allowing for an uncluttered mind, for less distraction, more time to practice silence, and to listen and talk with the Lord. Let's take a second, right where we are, and just imagine an uncluttered mind, just silence. If that 5 seconds was difficult for you, you're not alone. But silence might be a good practice to begin with. Some in our congregation who live by themselves and understand solitude make it a point to join a small group or meet with friends for a fun afternoon in the practice of community. A group of, seeming to me, random people, but who were carefully chosen by God, banded together a little over a year ago to purchase a vehicle for someone in need. That person continues to benefit from that vehicle today, and the people who generously gave continue to be blessed by being involved. This is an example in the practice of generosity. And the late beloved John Sr., as he continued his rhythm of reading Scripture in the morning, his heart became full over and over again with a love for the words that were spoken by the Lord that he could hold in his hand and his heart. Many days, these words inspired a song in his heart and on his lips. What did these people and many others have in common? They desire to follow the pattern of Jesus and are intentional to be a Talmid or an apprentice. They desire to be formed into the person of Jesus and to live that out in everyday life. Do these people have things figured out? Are they perfectly following a life after the Lord? No. But they are being intentional with spiritual formation. They're taking steps to be more like Jesus. They're making room in their lives for the patterns or practices of Jesus. So as we think about what this could look like for each of us, I also want to recognize that different seasons allow for different kinds of practice. When I had 3 kids under 3, the ways that I could be intentional about my spiritual formation looked a whole lot different than they do right now. If you're someone who's well acquainted with solitude in this season of your life, your practices could tend more toward community. If this season of your life is difficult, perhaps embracing silence as an invitation to hear the Lord's voice might be for you. Spiritual formation isn't a Christian thing or even a religious thing. It's a human thing. And most of it is unintentional. It just happens. We have all been spiritually formed from a very young age, but when we are intentional, we can ask questions like, who am I becoming? And am I being intentional about who I am becoming? Who am I becoming? And am I being intentional about who I am becoming? We get to choose how we use our time to make room for the practices of Jesus. When we devote ourselves to something, we give ourselves over to it. We give our thoughts, our attention, we give our time and our schedules, we give finances to make it happen, we give emotion and energy, and we give ourselves over to it. The marathon runners in here know, and I only ran a half marathon, so I only half know, training for a long run like that takes devotion. We have to find time in our schedules for training runs, which are not always short. When they get long, we're finding hours on regular work days or Saturdays for training runs. We spend time researching training plans, protein sources, energy gels for long runs, equipment, shoes, playlists. We watch videos and follow other marathon runners on social media or read about what a successful runner does. Then we devote finances. We purchase the right shoes, the water bottles, the belt packs, the watch, the clothing. This description is turning into a marathon. And when training gets hard, and when you're training in the winter and it's freezing rain on top of snow and your training plan says that you have 12 miles to do, the training is hard. And I can tell you from experience that 12 miles on a treadmill are hard. But just like this training, when life gets hard, when it's easier to sleep in instead of devoting some of our morning to scripture and silence and prayer, when the world, it seems, is on fire and we want to join in the rage by blasting the other side with our choice words, opinions, and carefully chosen means, when our finances are low and generosity seems out of reach, these are all invitations for intentionality. Eating healthy, doctor's appointments, going to the gym, sleeping, all of it takes intention. Our education and careers take intention. Building relationships. We're even intentional about where we want to go on summer vacation and where we want to eat, because these things matter to us. So we set our intention on them. And on the flip side, just as the unintentional mind tends toward chaos, the unintentional life tends toward chaos. What if, instead, we are as intentional about our spiritual life as we are about some of these other things? Dallas Willard also said, authentic transformation really is possible if we're willing to do one thing, arrange our life around the kinds of practices that Jesus engaged in to receive power from the Father. So as we asked in the beginning, what should we do? It might look like starting with what you can do, not what we think we should do. Start small. Practice generosity by tithing for the first time. Practice scripture by allowing the Spirit to draw you to a verse in the Bible and then spend a whole week focusing on that one verse. After lunch today, set a timer on your phone for 2 minutes. Take a deep breath and thank God for the gifts that He's given you today. And when the timer goes off, go about your day. This is a practice in gratitude. What if you, like some others, deleted a game off your phone? Or try going 24 hours without social media. And instead, use that time to sit with the Lord and experience His peace. This is a practice in silence and self-control for most of us. How about ending the day by practicing prayer with the guided prayer app that we use for our 21 days of prayer season? Lectio 365 has a relatively short guided prayer in the morning, in the midday, and at night. So when you lay down to sleep, just turn on your evening prayer and allow it to play as you end your day. Head to Star Rock for a hike or sit and watch the water movements on the river. Let this be a practice in solitude, listening for the voice of the Lord. Start your morning with a walk around your neighborhood, just appreciating creation. Each of these things are attainable, and each of these things are a practice in the pattern of Jesus and intentionally training our minds and hearts to follow Jesus. Each of these practices are a guardrail, if you will, to help keep us on our path of intentionality. And slowly, over time, we will become more like Jesus, being formed into a person of love in Christ. There's so much to say on this topic, but it is important to note that this process is not linear. These are not checklist items to conquer and move on to the next. This is a process that we will be in for the rest of our lives, if we are courageous enough to continue on the spiritual journey. Jesus said in Matthew, "Learn from me, and I will give you rest for your souls." And along the journey of learning and resting, we can find that our life is becoming more and more beautiful. A durable beauty, like the Grand Canyon, takes the longest to create, It's a process, and it stays beautiful for a long time. A fleeting beauty is a flower that comes up early in the spring. It's beautiful for a moment, but then with a late frost, it withers. We are after a durable beauty, something that is strong and long-lasting, and that takes a while. It's a process. So back to Acts 2. What should we do? Following the pattern of Scripture, we first repent, or turn from our ways that don't line up with Scripture. To repent is to change your mind, or to change the direction that you are going. It's a turning and a returning to Jesus. So if you have not said yes to Jesus, I encourage you to turn in his direction. And then be baptized. If you've not been water baptized yet, that might be your next step. This is an outward act, symbolic of the decision that we've made to repent, to be washed clean of our sin, and then be raised up out of the water into new life with Jesus. The third thing mentioned is to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit is kind of like the secret sauce. He makes everything better. He brings a special power to help us be intentional. He reminds us of the practices or the guardrails and helps us to be faithful to continue on our journey. He helps us to be more patient and loving instead of reactive. He brings joy in times of sorrow and peace in the face of trials, kindness, goodness, and gentleness to all kinds of people around us, and helps us to have self-control in a world that seems out of control. And then, filled with the Spirit, we devote ourselves. The goal is to have the main aim of our hearts to be apprentices in Jesus. Of course, we have careers, families, other commitments, but even in all of those areas, there's an invitation to have the main aim of our hearts to be prioritizing Jesus. One risk in devoting ourselves to the pattern of Jesus can be an interpretation that says we have to keep trying or striving. It can be a burdensome mentality. Anyone besides me ever get into that pass-fail type of thinking? But what if we instead looked at this devotion to the pattern of Jesus through a training mindset? We're training for a life like Jesus, and the way that we do that is practice. Our relationships, our workplaces, our conversations with friends, each of our lives is a training ground. It's a practice field in each of these areas. One tool that could be helpful is something ancient followers of Jesus in the 3rd and 4th century called a regula, or in Latin, translating to in their context to mean a rule of life. Not a set of rules for life that we must follow, but rather picture a trellis. A trellis is what a gardener uses to pick up plants off the ground to help plants to nourish, to flourish. We can create a trellis for our spiritual foundation. We do this in the Practicing the Way small group. Spoiler alert for those in my group this semester. We'll do it later. I'd be happy to go into this in more detail at another time for anyone interested, but each rung on the trellis is a practice or a pattern of Jesus. And we set aside time and intentionality to outline how each practice can show up for us according to our season of life. This gives us a rule or a guide to live by. And just like Lindsay, intentionally doing strengthening exercises day after day, training to reach her chin-up goal, we give intention toward the practices of Jesus, becoming more and more like Jesus every day, and influencing others around us to do the same. What would our world look like if we could be more and more like Jesus? If we allow Jesus to teach us the art of living, he will show us the full life. All we have to do is make room. So I want to take a minute and create a space for response in our hearts. If you would, go ahead and bow your heads with me. Take a couple deep breaths. Deep breath, let the air fill your lungs. If your mind begins to wander, perhaps focus your mind with the ancient prayer that Micah taught us last week. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to us, Lord. How do you want us to make room in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, and in our schedules for you? How can we be more like you today? Lord, you see our coming and our going. When we sit and when we rise, you see the best intentions of our hearts and the days when our intentions are lost. lost in the minutia of the day. And you love us just the same. Thank you for walking with us, providing guidance and leading us. Please help us this week to turn and return our hearts to you. Thank you for helping us make room for the invitations of your rhythms, the practices that will allow us to live the full and abundant life that you desire for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. I invite you to stand as we close with a song. Members of the prayer team will be down front here ready to pray with you about making room or anything else that you would like to pray with them about. You are invited to come.
The fullness of God, wrapped in mercy, showed us your heart, your